Yesterday we read the Mechaber in Siman Bei Sifvav that one is not allowed to walk become a skufa. We spoke about the issue of gaiva. What exactly are the parameters of that? Beyond that, the Mechaber mentioned also in Sifvav, Lo Yelech Dalaramas Begili Rosh. So here the Mishnah Berurah contends that even less than Dalet Amos is a Midas Chasidus, even at nighttime when a person goes to sleep. But then he quotes an opinion that indicates that even Dalet Amos is not Osir Mikir Adin. It's only Osir Lahatsnuin B'Maseyim. This is in Tzipkot and Gedalf, and then he cites the Taz. And that's what I would like to discuss in the next few minutes of the Shir. That the Taz contends that the Isur here is an Isur of Bichukoseim Lo Selecha. We mentioned yesterday that that's a Din Daraisa. The Tesis writes that Abu Nazar recited that Bichukoseim Lo Selecha has three parameters. Number one, if it's Lechinam for no reason, no ostensible reason that we're familiar with. Number two, if it's Lashem Abu Nazar. And number three, Lashem Pritzos. So the question is whether the Taz, who contends that this is an Isur D'oraisa, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it here in Sifkot and Yud Aleph, and the argument is because non-Jews, when they go into a church or into any religious kind of activity, and even a non-religious activity, as we mentioned, the singing of the Star Spangled Banner, I'm not sure what that's based on, out of COVID, I imagine, for the for the country and for the national anthem of the country. So the question is, what are the Gedarim a little bit of the Isur D'oraisa of Bechukoseim Vaseilecho? So Bechukoseim Vaseilecho is based on the Pasuk in Chumash, where the Torah writes in Parshas Acharemos, we learn it actually in Yom Kippur. The Torah says over there, Kemase Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtim Bo, Lo Sasu. Uchemase Eretz Kenan, Asher Ani Mevi Eschachem, Lo Sasu, Bechukoseim Vaseilecho. So there's a, that Pasuk has a Kfelus at the end of the pasuk. It says first Kemase Eretz Yitzrayim Asher Yishavtim Bo Lo Sasu, and then it says Kemase Eretz Kenan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Sasu, and then at the end Uchukoseim Lo Selecho. What is that addition? Those last three words seemingly are redundant, are superfluous. It already said Kemase Eretz Yitzrayim Lo Sasu, Uchukoseim Eretz Kenan Lo Sasu. Their behavior left a lot to be desired. And then the Torah adds as a kind of nispach at the end, v'chukoseim lo seleichol. What is that adding to that which appeared earlier in the pasuk? Right after that, the Torah then says, miyad after that, es mishpatai tasu, es lukosai tishru, lo laches bahem, ani Hashem elokechem. The pasuk that follows upon the heels of Uvuchukoseim lo seilecho, es mishpatai tasu, yeshukosai tishmu lalachas b'hem, ani Hashem elokechem. So Rashi over there feels constrained to be mavchim between chukim and mishpatim. We know that this is actually found several times in Chumash, the distinction between mishpatim and chukim. So Rashi Kesedir always translates it in an identical way. Rashi says that mishpatim are items that are rationally undergirded. That is to say, even had they not been said, Hayakadai L'Omran, certainly there would be a value. I'm talking about the entire world of Choshev Mishpat, the way the Radak Kesedah writes in Tanakh, if not for Choshev Mishpat, or maybe using the Lashon, the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Ilmali Mayrosh, Malchus Ish Yisrael Chayim Blo, there would be chaos, eternal Hefker, if not for basic laws that are on the books with reference to Choshev Mishpat and the like. But Chukosai, Chukim referred to Gzeras HaMelech. Namely, the Yetzirah, says Rashi, Meshiv Aleihem. Right away, the Yetzirah comes to the fore and comes to attack us, and the Umos HaOlam attack us. And Rashi, I think, gives several examples. They're well known, the examples of Achilat Chazir, or Levisha Shatnes, or even the Pasha of Mechatos, the beginning of Pasha's Chukas, the Dinim of Parah Aduma. It means essentially, Chukim are laws that appear to us to be, in Hebrew, you would say, in modern Hebrew, shriru tiyim, arbitrary in nature. What's the point? What's the value of that? We don't see any toelos. Mashenkin mishpotim, we understand the toelos, we understand laws that seemingly are undergirded by a rational kind of basis. So when you look at this pasuk that I just began with, namely the tzukim, first the Torah says, Kamasi Eretz Yisrael lo sasu, Kamasi Eretz Kanan lo sasu, and then it says, V'chubosem lo seilecho. So apparently you have to understand the kfeilos of the pasuk Rishonim, already has the kasha in Acharenos. So apparently there are two different types of chikui. Chikui means where people
imitate,
or if you will, I used to have a Rebbe, he used to call people who imitate others, me tunyiks, me too. Whatever you do, I do as well. So I used to call them me tunyiks. So anyway, there are two different types of chikui. Number one, the beginning Torah tells us about Canaan and Mitzrayim. They had practices, they had mores that were absolutely very markedly different, and they were mekul kolam mikol umos. I think Rashi himself comments over there, that's what Rashi said. Dafka, Eretz Mitzrayim, all types of things. And we're talking about masim that are abominable, that are puzzle, that are absolutely illegitimate. And sometimes when the Torah actually, there in that context actually, the Torah when it's Mefarad, the Isra Barayas, the Torah lays it out. The Torah actually tells us, it goes on. That's why we read that Pasha, Mincha of Yom Kippur. That's what the Rishonim point out in the Megillah. We read that Pasha, Mincha of Yom Kippur, because they were underscoring those aspects of Mitzrayim and Canaan that are absolutely all types of things. Noshim, Misolos, unfortunately that's an issue that is very much becoming on the docket today. I mean, it's always been on the docket, but it's emerged. Emerged in a way which unfortunately is a very complicated issue and a very sensitive one and has to be dealt with in the proper kind of way. But then the Torah goes on and adds another pasuk. Namely, that's the pasuk that follows upon the heels. And that's what we asked. Why is the Torah adding, what additional factor is there in that pasuk? I don't have a chumash in front of me, but I'm relatively certain those are the psukim. And why was that added? And the answer is that the Torah, in effect, are not only talking about ma'asim b'tu'avim, things that are inherently considered to be repugnant and abominable, but rather even things that appear to be, I would say, stomiim. That when you look at them at the face value, you don't really see what's the problem. Why does that present any kind of difficulty? Why is that a formidable challenge for us? Why are we concerned about those atoms? And why did the Torah aser such things? And apparently the Torah does not want us to imitate the culture of the goyim. Does not want to imitate, and the culture of the goyim is, we're talking about a wide-ranging group of items, and it could be in many, many different arenas, many different areas. I mean, that's not that Klal Yisrael have, we have our own culture, our own mores, and the Torah, it's interesting, the Torah's Lashon, and that's my Rabbeim used to be Medayik in the Lashon of the Pasuk. It doesn't say, V'chukosem lo seilechel. It doesn't say, I'm sorry, lo sasa. The beginning of the Pasuk, when it talks about Mitzrayim and Canaan, it says, K'masi Eretz Mitzrayim, Asher Yishavtem Bo, lo sasa. V'chumasi Eretz Canaan, Asher Ani, Mevi Yitzchem Shama, lo sasa. And now here, the Torah uses a different verb. Why did the Torah change verbs? Why here dafka in that context of the second type of what I call chikui, the tabut ha'amim? Why is it the Torah now utilizes a different verbal form? And the answer is because here the problem is not so much in the action itself. The action in and of itself may be parav. The action in and of itself may not necessarily be something that's repugnant, that's something that's so distant from us. But the fact that a person attempts lehidamos lahem, we attempt to simulate the culture of the non-Jewish world. Of course, if it's something of a positive nature, namely yesterday we mentioned, so they wear suits, we wear suits. That's not a violation of chukasem lo seleichom. That's not a problem. That's not considered to be a chikui of the goyim of the umas ha'olam. However, if we're talking about, as I said, that which they do, which has a specific kind of intent, then I'll just read you Aizirak Saloshan Rambam. That's what I want to read. The Rambam says, Ein hochem chukos ha'avdi kachabim. V'lo medamim lehem, lo b'malbush, we encounter, unfortunately, even in the Orthodox community, a young man comes with a mohawk. See, Rabbi Bronfeld, they've given me a chinuch, they've given me an education. He comes with a mohawk, or other kinds of hairstyles and hairdos that I'm not so familiar with, to be honest with you. And it goes even beyond that, and people talk to me about this all the time. A young man comes with in his ears. He's wearing earrings. He's wearing other kinds of nose rings. Even in the Orthodox Jewish community, you may argue that how does this reflect Orthodox Judaism? These are just young men, and sometimes young women, who somehow are caught up in the Western Zerem. So the Rambam writes over here that one should not follow those types of chukim. Shenema lo sechu v'chukos hagoyim, v'nemar v'chukosem lo sedechu, he quotes his pasuk, then he quotes the third pasuk, v'nemar, yishom lecha pentinokei shahareyem. Hakol b'inya nebar umazim. All these chukim have one common denominator. What is that? Shelo yidam elohem, elo yiyah ha-yisrael moved on mehem, v'yadua b'malbusho u'bishar masad. We wear, we have a certain kind of attire. That's apparently might even be a basis for different groups of people wearing certain colors, certain types of clothing with certain colors, and that's a Gemara actually, a discussion about that. People often ask me, am I allowed to dress, can I wear a blue shirt? Of course you can wear a blue shirt. I don't think that's a violation of Chukos HaAkum. Must I wear white? There is such a practice of many who wear white. I think I see in front of me, that's what it looks to me. If I'm not mistaken, not completely 1,000%, but as I've said, Gamor, someone wears a blue shirt. But the Ram goes on to say, Kemoshu who moved on the hand of Mado, with the Elsa, just like our philosophy, our ideology is different, our Ashkaf is different, Bechenu Omer, Vabdel Eschem, and Am, and Leo Sli, Lo Yilbosh, Bemalbish, HaMeyuchadahem. If it's a Malbish, which is Meyuchadahem, Lo Yigadel Tzitzis Rosha, Kemo Tzitzis Rosha. And that's just the Mohawk, but all types of other, years ago, I actually went with someone to raise money for the yeshiva, and I went to a place that was hip-hop. If you recall, or maybe you're familiar with that, it was owned by a frum guy, and he, Baruch Hashem, we had a connection with him because of his children, the yeshiva, and I walked into the place with the mankal of my yeshiva, Zechut Zag Nivracha, Rav Mickey Marks, that's all, and I was absolutely flummoxed, floored beyond belief. Never saw anything like this in my life. First of all, they had these iron combs that were in their hair. I never saw anything like it in my entire life. The hair that was sort of almost as if it was electrified. And then there was iron combs that were running through it. And then they had these massive, baggy, hip-hop kind of pants. And the whole thing was a hip-hop kind of, at that time hip-hop was very common. Was very popular, and these are styles that go in and out. The Havim Gafalvi Abdolz, my Rebbe, are going to need some albums, that's all. I once approached him on Purim, usually that's when I had the audacity to do these kinds of things, and I asked him, he's wearing a tie that is not in style. It's one of these very fat ties, and at that time, thin ties came back into the vogue. And so he told me, don't worry, wait a few years, it'll be back in style, everything is fine. Anyway, so I'm in style. I just don't change. Everyone else changes around me, and I simply maintain my... So I'm watching all this hip-hop stuff, and I was absolutely floored. So the Rambam says, Lo yigadol tzitzis rosho, kamo tzitzis rosho. They used to have these big boom boxes. I don't know if you're familiar with it. I'm really not familiar with it, but I remember that's what they had over there in this hip-hop place. Boom boxes. Massive boom boxes, and they can... Wow. The Rosh...
Eight decks.
You don't need it anymore. Now
it's all a thing this big.
Yeah, well, that's the Sayyidat Simtsum. They probably studied Chaim Baloshin and the Balatanya. Anyway, so the so it says, V'loyigad al tzitziz reisham, k'mo tzitziz reisham, V'loyigad lech min atzdonim, v'aniach hasa v'emtsa, k'mo shem eltsim, v'zeh aniko bluris. The one goes on here in the Avad Azar, Perek Yud Aleph. So the Kesef Mishneh, luckily for us, he sort of, I would say, even is mitzamtzim the position of the Rambam. Otherwise, the Rambam, you could just interpret it, wow, you could basically ask everything. So he says, Lo nisgabin rabbeinu lesser el malbush hamiyuchadahem. Only a malbush which is very distinctive, which really defines them, the umas ha'olam. Upirshua yisraelim yimenu mishum tzniya. So why do we not adopt those mores? Because we are tzanua, we are modest, omnei dov acher for other reasons, shekevin chinesiachadahem and then giyusam. They dress this way, or they have hairstyles this way because they want to accentuate the fact that they are goyim. We decided to cease and desist from that kind of behavior because we are Jews. So if I were to adapt that kind of style that kind of attire, whatever it may be. So then it looks like I'm trying to mamish, simulate them and emulate them, and they are my models. I mean, we deal with, I deal with young people, and of course their models are the major sports figures, and these sports figures, I'm sure they're obviously sports, they're gedolim in sports. Haley Shum Sofek, they told me I'm very behind the eight ball. So finally, it took me a number of years to realize that this Michael Jordan fellow was a guy, was from the Gedolei Ador. So I didn't have any kesher with him. And then also there are others, I don't want to mention their names, I don't even know their names, to be honest with you. So, but many of them in their own personal lives are, I can only describe them as beneath contempt, decrepit from every perspective. And these are the models that some of our young men are idolizing, these models or music figures or and the like. So the Rambam says the Ma'arik is only talking about where it's a lavush miyuchad or a particular meaning miyuchad. Al she'ena malbush miyuchad and maderech zo, they wear suits and we wear suits. Ein ha'yisoh chayim lishtaros min agoy kol v'ikar. Notice the way the Ma'arik, one of the great Rav Kalon from Italy, one of the great poskim. So he more or less demarcates, or I would say even in some respects, he really limits this Rambam, who could have been easily expanded. So the Isser, essentially, there's no Isser, whatever a non-Jew does, I should not do. There's no such Isser. The Isser is lihindamos ligoyim. If I'm going to be somehow attempt to emulate their behavior and to do that which they do. And the Ramban in Chumash, in Perek Yudbeis in Dvarim, I alluded to that pasuk earlier, because the Rambam himself quotes part of the pasuk. The Torah says, Yishama lecha pentinokesh achareyem, you might come and become curious about their religions, etc. I also want to be what I call the mitunyiks. I also want to be like them. I also want to, and this is an issue, for example, even the Achreim talk about, this question has been asked to me for the last several decades. Can I study rabbi compared to religion? Can I study other religions? So I tell them, how much of the religion that you are presently ensconced in do you know about? And usually it's quite little. As another Rebbe of mine used to say, he was a sharp riska. The amount of knowledge they have in Yiddishkeit, you can fit into a thimble and there'd be a lot of room left. You know what a thimble is. A thimble used to, when you do sewing, so you should, the chasr shalom.
It's one of the Monopoly pieces.
Okay, so we have a pasuk that tells you, and the Ramban understands this pasuk. See, Rashi understands this pasuk, which is also cited by the Rambam here, Ilchasav Zohar. Rashi understands the pasuk based on the Gemara Sanhedrin that we're talking about an Isra'ab Adazara, Kiderach Abedasa. There are ways that the Goyim worshipped Abedazara, so we're not supposed to follow those ways that they worship Abedazara. The Ramban is Doichad Abshan and Rashi. The Ramban lends this pasuk as referring to not Abedazara, talking about Avedes Hashem, because even though the Torah began by saying Yishama lecha pentinokei shachareim, and then it says Acharei Yishamdom yipanecha ufentidrosh leloheim leimor echa yabdu hagoyim ha'eles Eloheim ve'esekein gamoni, and then it says the next pasuk lo sasekein l'Hashem elokecha. So the Ramban sees the smichus haparshios, and he understands the smichus haparshios is telling us that someone who wants to be an Eved Hashem, so should not do it Kiderech Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the way they are Ovdei Hashem, or the way they are rather not Ovdei Hashem, but Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we have to be careful. So there's a medrash I wanted to Zirok says medrash, and the medrash says Omer Abrechya, Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Lech Emor Lahem LeYisrael, Hishayisim BeMitzrayim Hayisim Domim LeShoshana Ben Achochim. When you were in Egypt, you were like a rose among thorn bushes. Achshav Shatem Nitrasim Eretz Kanan, Hey you Domim LeShoshana Ben Achochim. But tnu daitchem shelo tasu lo kemase elo lo kemase elo ador d'chsir kemase eretz mitzrayim eshei shavtem b'lo sasu. My father Moshav was very fond of the Chazal, the beginning of Shmos, namely that Klal Yisrael l'shina shmam eslshona malbusham. Even though to a large extent we unfortunately wallowed in the throes of tumah and mitzrayim and really came down to the lowest level where Hashem had no choice but to take us out of Egypt, but at the same time, we made some effort, at least in these areas, of lavush, of language, Ruben Nichnas, Ruben Yatsa, in terms of the attire that we had, to more or less contend with the Egyptian warriors, and yet maintain our own identity, lo lehitama, with an ayin ben hamitzvim, not to become assimilated to such an extent where we acculturate completely among the non-Jewish world. It means essentially we guarded our language, our names, our lavush. Even the issue of names, as you probably know, is a major issue. Hagoyin Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Moran Sar HaTorah Shlita. So he is very makpid on names that people have and that given. He feels the names have to have a makor, a source. I mean, in my day, I think today's different. Today, Baruch Hashem, people, the names they're giving to others, to their children and grandchildren, are more or less based on either relatives, grovim, or based on the names that I found in Tanakh, as opposed to Irene, or as opposed to which?
Irving, Seymour.
Correct. Well, Seymour is not too bad. Sounds pretty Jewish to me. But other such names, etc., I can tell you, names that are absolutely beyond the pale. And so this is something, again, we're trying not to lose our identity. You know, exactly this sakana of chikui meaning the, I call the mitunyik phenomena, being like the others, is dafka in Eretz Kanaan, not in Mitzrayim. Dafka when Klal Yisrael becomes a nation with its own autonomous, sovereign kind of government, and we decide we're no longer the Rebbe, kishoshana v'nachochim. And that's exactly the issue of Klal Yisrael coming here to Eretz Yisrael and establishing a government over here. We have to try to maintain to the extent that we can, not engage in any chikui of the Targut HaMitzriyim or Kanaan. And that's what the Torah actually is underscoring this point. And especially, as I said, that we are surrounded by other cultures that are absolutely overwhelming in terms of their whatever charisma they seem to offer. Somehow people assume they have some sort of charisma, and therefore there's a tendency on the part of many to unfortunately follow those ways. Now the question is, in light of what I said, this Taz that indicates that because they would go into a church and bare their head, so that's something that when it comes to Avodas Hashem we should not do. It sounds like the Ramban that I just cited a moment ago. The Ramban really juxtaposes the Psukim when the Torah says Yishom Alecha Petilak Shachareyim, and then you say I'm going to do the way they do. And then the Torah says that you should not do that. Hashem Elokecha means you have to be careful. Avodas Hashem, not to emulate the Darkei Agoyim. So you can see that this Taz, even though many do not agree. If you look even in the Mishnah Berurah, we'll take a look here in Simchat Yudal. Mishnah Berurah tells you that Midas Chasidus Afilu Parah Midal Amos, and then some say it's not also Mikra Adin, only Mitzluim and Maseim. That seems to be more or less, I would say, the position of many poskim, because, as I mentioned already a few days ago, that the marker for this is really Gemara's in Shabbos and Kedushin, that the Gemara says that this will lead to Yiras Shamayim. The person that we said, Yamaka stands for Yiras Elokim, Mamaka Mazeh. You want to have Yiras Shamayim, so you cover your head. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah even quotes. He quotes that Gemara in Shabbos. Take a look here. In Sidkot Yudal, he quotes it in Magen Avraham. He says here, Yafil Ktanim, Nachon Nagila Mekisi Arosh. Even a young child, the Mishnah Berurah said, he should also be mechanic a young child, Megili Arosh. Why? He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. In order that you should have Eim Sadishmaya, he quotes that Gemara. And so it would seem that the Baofen Ekroni, this halacha of Gili Arosh is essentially a din primarily founded upon this idea of Yiras Shamayim. But the fact of the matter is that you see a Taz, and this Taz is based what seemingly, in terms of what I just discussed a moment ago, the Rambam and especially the Ramban, that this is considered to be perhaps even a violation of an Issa D'Araisa, according to the Taz. But as I said, most do not assume that way. And this certainly, people are generally pretty makbid. There may be chilukim between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim here when it comes to this area of Kisei Arosh. Not maybe, there are chilukim between them. They're very makbid. Even business people sometimes I meet in the United States, Brooklyn, and deal. So when they're about to go ahead and make a bracha, they're certainly makbid to go ahead and cover their, are very careful to have Kisui Rosh, certainly B'shas HaTfilah, which is a Chiyam Mikra Adin. And beyond that, even when they talk to Rabbanim, they also immediately put on the kippah, head covering, but lav dafka when they're in business and the like, and they may not necessarily be so medakdik. Again, if it were a Din D'Araisa, then of course that would be very problematic, that kind of behavior. So that's what we're assuming, that that's not the case. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes here. The Gemara says in Shabbos here, here's the Gemara, he quotes it, Kufnin Vav, the mother of Nachum by Yitzchak, she was makbid Akisi Arbosh, even when he's a young child. And that's a double yadua, that people who are Anoshim, Tahorim, the tzibur that I speak to, these are people who generally try to be makvin, Akisi Arbosh, even when they're young children. The Chazon Ish says his mother already was the didactic on Akisi Arbosh when he was literally a mere infant. I think the Minhag HaOlam is Lahakel. That's my understanding. The Minhag HaOlam is Lahakel. Usually young children, young men, talking about very young children, they're going to throw off the yarmulke very quickly. And therefore, we generally are Makel, Kolzman, that he has not yet reached the age of, let's say, the age of three. Until the age of three, Yesh Makom Lahakel regarding this matter. And from that age on, then we're Makbid that he should always try to be Rosh HaBechus HaTamid. Of course, you have to start a little bit before then, in order to get them into the shvum of actually doing that which should be done. So I just, again, just going on this Mishnah Berurah, that the Mishnah Berurah has the comment that we reference to walking Dal Ramos Begili Harosh, and as I said, both in Ekroni, we're talking about something which is significant, but it's not necessarily a Din D'Oraisa where the Taz somehow assumes. That doesn't seem to be the rogue position of Gdoli Apostle. So now I gave you Simen Tzadik Aleph. You have a copy of that. So here in Simen Tzadik Aleph, there's a problem right away that's raised by the Simen Tzadik Aleph Siv Gimel in the Mechaber. So here the Mechaber says, this is in the context of Hilchos Tefillah, Yesh Omrim She'osa Lahotzi Askara. Oh, is there an extra copy? Yeah, maybe there is one. I don't know if there is. Thank you. He says, Yesh Omrim, She Osu Lahotzi Askar Mipi Berosh Megula. Yesh Omrim, She Shlimcho Shlo Likonim Isakneses, Begili Harosh. So here the Mechaber mentions, number one, the Halacha mentioning the Shem Hashem, Berosh Megula. And then he adds, She Shlimcho Shlo Likonim Isakneses, Begili Harosh, not to walk into a shul with one's head uncovered. So right away, before Shem asks, why is this din brought a second time? We just add this halacha and siman beis. Why is the mechaber here now decide to reiterate or rearticulate the din that we're already familiar with? That you can't mention the Shem Hashem Begili Rosh, and you can't enter the Beis HaKnesses Begili Rosh. So if you cannot walk down Amos Begili Rosh, so Kal V'chemer, Menoshe Kal V'chemer, the halacha that's found here in Tzadik Aleph. Why do we need a separate din of also the Kanes Beis HaKnesses Begili Rosh? There are a number of tirutzim to this question. And the tirutzim are embedded really in the language of the Mechaber himself. You have to compare the two lashonas. First of all, you'll notice that in Simen Beis Asimen, how does the Mechaber write it? Below Yelech Dal Ramos Begili Harosh. And the Ramos said Nekvar Ashrina. It doesn't say Asa. It says Below Yelech Dal Ramos Begili Rosh Nekvar Ashrina. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah cites a whole series of different positions, as I mentioned, whether it's Midas Chassidus, whether it's Mikra Adin, whether it's Adin Daraisa, according to the Taz. But here, the Lashon is very clear. Yesh Omrim She'asa Lahotzi Askara Mipiv Rosh Megula. To say the Shem Hashem, Rosh Megula, that's an Isur. That's Asur, that's absolutely interdicted. And then he quotes the Yesh Omrim, She'esh Limcho Shal Yikonim Yisak Nesa Begili Arosh. Again, the language is different than the language of that we had in Simen Beis. Here it says, "V'yesh omer she'yesh limchos," that you should protest if someone goes and comes into a shul. The Gilei Arosh, I remember many, many years ago when I was a very young man. So, in the shul that I davened in, that also there were many people who were really not necessarily shomer Torah mitzvahs who davened in the shul. They had a stack of yarmulkes. They have a habdil by the Kesel Marobi. Where people put on these cardboard type of kippah in order, because they're just simply not aware. But anyway, I'm just pointing it that the distinction between the two, the language found in Simen Beis, the language of Simen Gimel, seems to be quite evident. But however, I want to mention a number of other things. In Simen Beis, the Easter is Dal Ramos. And here, in the Simen Tzadik Aleph that we are referring to, here the Mechaber says, the Asa Lahotzi Askara Mipiv Rosh Megula, even without Dal Ramos, you're not allowed to mention the Shem Hashem, even though you're standing in place, you're transfixed, you're rooted in one spot, you're not moving around, but that's halacha, that you can't mention the Shem Hashem, Rosh Megula. Beyond that, he can't enter a shul. That halacha was not mentioned earlier. That's what Psalm did of entering the Beis HaKnesses. The Rav Nevensol Shlita Mishnah Berurah, which you have, the Xerox copy I gave you, on the bottom he writes on this, Sarach L'chasas Rosho Shotinuk Afila Ben Yomo Afila Bezras Noshim Shemkot HaMokom. Wow. Rav Nevensol says that this halacha is relevant to someone who brings a very young child into a shul, that he has to have Kisui Rosh. Even if he's in the Ezra's Noshim, Mishukwan HaMokas, this is halacha in the Beis HaKnesses. A din in kavod of the Beis HaKnesses that requires this kind of behavior. And then he goes further, Beis HaKvaras Nechshav and Bokum Kodesh. L'chad Zorg Lachmuk in the Beis HaKnesses, Noch HaChidush. And even a cemetery, says Rav Nevensol, is a Bokum Kodesh, and then we should be Makbid like a Beis HaKnesses. So one distinction between this halacha in Tzadik Aleph and the din in mentioned in Siman Beis is that, as I said, in Siman Aleph we're talking about Dalet Emes, that's the Isur. Lo Yelech. It doesn't say even Isur, it says Lo Yelech. Mashenken over here, the Mechaber says he can't be masked Shem Hashem, that's an Isur. And also in the Beis HaKnesses, even though one is in one spot, you should not enter the Beis HaKnesses and be Gilui Rosh. The second distinction is that, as I said, according to many poskim, in Siman Beis, it's Midas Chassidus. Mishnah Berurah himself, again, as you saw, he indicates that that is a position of many, many poskim. And when it says Osir, where does the Mechaber say Osir? The Koma Skufa. You're not allowed to go in a, to walk in a swagger, to walk arrogantly. But he doesn't mention the language of Isur when it comes to Gilui Rosh. That's not found. It doesn't say it's Osir. Hashem King, Haskaras Hashem, or Halichal Beis HaKnesses, that seems to be something which is Mikra Adin. That's something which apparently is inherently required. But again, less than Dalet Emes, as Mishnah Berurah himself writes, that seems to be something which is less than Dalet Emes seems to be Midas Chassidus. So these are several chilukim between what's found in Siman Beis and what's found over here in Siman Tzadik Aleph. Now, I'll just, again, the Taz that the Mishnah Berurah quoted over here, the Taz says that B'maneinu, it's a Yisur Gomor, the Lav of Hussein will say Leiko, and this is based, I think, on the Ramban, the way I cited the Ramban earlier, the Pesukim Mechumash and HaKavimos, where the Ramban sees the juxtaposition of two Pesukim of Yishom Elochot Petinok and Shachareyim, and then the Pesuk Golo Sasi Kein Lashem Elokecha. He holds as an Isim and a Torah to walk even less than Dalet Emes and Isim Daraisa, but that is not the majority position of Rabbi Pesukim. Now the question was asked over here a day or so ago, why is it that women do not wear a yarmulke? Why is it that women don't wear a kippah? Bishlam tefillin, that we mentioned the Ramah says, mochin. Even though Ashkenazi women accept upon themselves mitzvah, say shalman groma, but they can perform all mitzvahs, and we discussed the other day, the Ramah and the Balei HaTosfos, Mechaber Ramah, whether they make a bracha or not, does the bracha relate to the Maisa mitzvah, the Kiva mitzvah? However, when it comes to tefillin, the Ramah says very clearly, mochin. We don't permit a woman to go ahead and put on tefillin. We just had the sugi, actually, since many of you learned the Daf Hayemi, the Gemara Daf Kuflam, the beginning of Rav Elazar ben Milo, also found earlier in Tes and Shabbos about Shema Yisha Bahem, Shema Yafiach Bahem, and the Sugi and Sukkah. So that's why women who are not mechuyev in the mitzvah, we don't want them to enter into a situation where they might be nichshel. That would not be a good thing. But the yarmulke is a kavod hashchina, as we saw, Yer Hashamayim. So why should women not also wear a yarmulke? My father, Shalom, thought the answer was obvious. My father thought the answer was that inherently women have a much larger quotient of Yer Hashamayim than their male counterparts. And this already is a whole discussion that would be required. And therefore, there are a lot of things that women do not require, such as mitzvah seh shazman groma, women are pater from. Why are they pater mitzvah seh shazman groma? Why are they not mechuyev? Because a lot of the mitzvahs, and probably most of the mitzvahs, are designed to enhance our Yer Hashamayim, that we should become more medaktig, closer to Hashem Yisbarach. And the nature of a man, this is already mentioned by Rishonim already, talking about this reasoning, that the nature of a man, men tend to be more aggressive, the male gender has an aggressive propensity, or propensities, if you will, and needs more mitzvahs in order, lichbosh et yitzro, in order to conquer his yetzer. Women have an inherent Yer Hashamayim in them, and don't require, and if the whole purpose of the yarmulke is to enhance Yer Hashamayim, women don't require this enhancement of Yer Hashamayim. Ad kidei kach. I always tell young men before they're about to begin dating, make sure they marry someone who's a bit more frum than they are. And this way, as the Gemara says, Beisa Zurishno, then Baruch Hashem, they'll be able to be Zochet, to have a home, which will be one that will be founded upon the Torah of Mitzvahs of Soloveitchik, Zatzal, when he said a Hesped for the Talmud Rebbetzin. I was present at that Hesped in Boston. So he pointed out that the laws of Shabbos were taught to him by his father, but what Shabbos is really all about, his mother taught him. What exactly the Ruach of Shabbos, the spirit of Shabbos, the tone of Shabbos, Einik Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, his mother somehow implanted them in him. There's no question that Shema B'ni Musa Avicho, Ve'altita Shar Simecho, that's what he spoke about, the Rav, at that Hesped, he said for the Talmud Rebbetzin, Zechenu Levracha, was essentially this idea that a woman inherently has much more Yirah Shamayim than the male counterparts. I always tell many young men, this of course is the brisk in me, the quip I tell them. Don't worry, it won't be too difficult to find someone with a bit more Yirah Shamayim than you have. But anyway, Bekitzer, that's what they should do, and generally they do it. They generally tend to marry women who are Baruch Hashem more connected and more dovek, and Hashem is Baruch, and that's a good thing, that's a positive thing. That's what my father thought. That was a pashuk shot. Then my father told me another reasoning, which Aleyom Hazeh, this reasoning is not so, quote-unquote, depending on the circles you travel in, politically correct. But I'll tell you it anyway. My father thought it was pashuk. But you may or may not. I don't know where you stand on these matters. And then later on, I found in our Shem Shel Frel Hirsch, the Tzad Nivracha, he also gives this suggestion. He points out, actually, that the whole idea of the Yarmulke is that one should be nichna to Hashem Yisbarach. One should submit himself to Hashem Yisbarach, should be completely kafum to Hashem Yisbarach. The person has to always be in a matzav of achno. No, women are nichna to their husbands, so they don't need that matzav of achno. To my father, that was like a milsim de pshita. He didn't understand what the chiddush is. So even
well,
then, I told him.
Anyway,
right. I'll get that in a second. So that's how I responded quickly to my father. Thank you. Well, Shekivati, the Naitcha, the Shelosla. So anyway, but that's my father told me that that's the nature, that a woman should be nechta to her husband. If we're living in a different dor today. So I found actually a Chassam Sefer over the years in the Dor of Daf Lamed. I actually wrote it down for myself. He says, Zeshe makpidim, lo legalo so, shemisha legalo posheya, lo mishum yirah shamayim. Not because yirah shamayim. Din kein, pinuyos gam kein, yichasi roshan. He has the kasha. That even single women should also have to cover their head if the issue is yirah shamayim. And those married women cover their head mikol v'kol. That's a mishnah in Ksuvis. That's a pasuk in Chumash. Ufaras, Rosh Isha, the Gemara says, from Seita, we learn out, a married woman is chayv to cover her head midaraisa. But he's asking mitzad yirah shamayim. I mean, we're not bringing a rai. We're talking about, as you asked correctly, that what about nashim v'vakot, nashim pinuyot? Women who are single. That's what I asked my father. And when he told me over this whole shtickle Torah, which I later found in Shem Shel Frel Hirsch. So there's no chil between men and women. So apparently you have to assume the Tam is based on maybe the Taz. So therefore, if it's based on the Taz, it only applies to males and not to females, non-Jewish males. So they went ahead and they went into churches and they bare their heads. And women, there was no applicability to women. And maybe there are perhaps other reasons, but I honestly think that the real reason is what I said at the very outset, namely what my father said, that women have an inherent, I'm talking about women who are Shemit Torah Mitzvahs, obviously, not women who are not Shemit Torah Mitzvahs, and Maladaber, but women are Shemit Torah Mitzvahs that inherently they have a Yirah Shamayim. That's what she attempted to do, Sarah Schneer, and all the others during the days of when the Bais Yaakov movement actually came into being, and her interest was essentially to try to be mechanich women, because she realized at one point in time, I'll just tell you, I think this is exactly what I mentioned earlier, also, I've spoken about this in the past, namely that in my mother, Alas Shalom, in her era, most women, married women, did not cover their hair, probably 95%, including even wives, unfortunately, of some great Talmidei Chachamim, even Dom Yisrael. And in my generation, let's say 50% yes, 50% no. And today, of the people that I teach women and men, and for many, many years, most of the young women who are Shema Torah Mitzvahs, I would say 99% cover the hair. Again, how they go about doing it, that's already another discussion. But in terms of the actual din of Sabi Sha'erba, the Imran Barak Chavdalid, they certainly are the kind that, no question about it. And that shows you something about the generation. So I would say of a similar nature that... in my mother's generation, my mother never went to yeshiva a day in her life. She was medaktik b'mitzvahs k'chut asayra. Unbelievable dikduk. only ever saw such dictic in my life. Every davening, every Birchas Hamazon was sung. My mother and father used to sing Birchas Hamazon. 15 minutes. Now, 15 minutes, I could pack away a whole shachris. And they take 15 minutes to daven to say Birchas Hamazon. You want to talk about the davening? It was an hour and a half. My father davened an hour and a half shachris. And they were busy saying tilim all day. And they worked also. They worked for a living. And they went to yeshiva day in their lives. So different, completely, again, my grandmother's from Vilna. So maybe that had something to do with it. That's the grandmother who had a cow. And she spoke Yiddish to the cow, Bessie. Bessie, kumdo Bessie. Anyway, so the, come here, Bessie. And Bessie obviously spoke Yiddish. But anyway, it was a different atmosphere. But she saw already, saw a shneir, that that's not going to work. And there's a need for chinuch, and that's what we have today. Baruch Hashem, formal chinuch for women. And over the years, again, I'm not talking about, that's a separate discussion, it's another 500 hours. But anyway, in terms of the parameters and things of that sort, but there's a difference in the Doros, and therefore, in terms of Yirat Shamayim, we can't assume automatically Yirat Shamayim is going to come without chinuch, without a formal chinuch, without proper guidance and proper care and proper tutelage. But inherently, from women have a quotient of Yirat Shamayim that is really amazing. I deal with a lot of young women who want to come to Eretz Yisrael, much more so than their husbands. And I explain to them that at the end of the day, you want panasa. And the husband is obligated to provide you with panasa. That's a din. You have chiyuvim, and the husband has chiyuvim. He has three chiyuvim. Sher, ksusa, v'enosa, la'igra. He has to provide you with panasa. I told someone that in the ksuba, most people don't understand the ksuba because they didn't get that far in the sech ksubas. They got to maybe that test and not beyond that. But anyway, so I'm not eflach v'ezim v'afarnis, that I have to go and support and sustain my wife. That's a chiyuv. And so that's the obligation. So it's not always easy for people to come to Eretz Yisrael, even though yesterday I spoke to someone by Richos, probably about 2 hours, and she told me that she plans on coming, given what's going on in America, given Corona, given the fact that now they're painting in front of Trump Towers a certain nusach, which she found to be absolutely unconscionable, beyond rationality, beyond belief. She's incredulous on that matter alone, and what's going on in general, b'chlal, and so time to come. I said, I'll come to Mitz Hashem. If you do come, I'll be there to greet you and welcome you. She had children to learn my yeshiva. But anyway, so, but Yirat Shamayim, they have a tremendous amount of Yirat Shamayim, and I think that's the real answer why women don't actually wear yarmulkes or have to wear yarmulkes, or in general, but since they're going to get married, they're going to cover their heads, be mekayim the din of kisui ha-rosh, so therefore, the whole idea of a kova is not relevant to them. It's really not. The whole relevance is only to maybe single girls, as you mentioned. And by the way, Bisman Chazal and Bisman, my grandmother, they got married very young. They got married at the age of 12, 13 years old. So maybe that also might be another reason why this issue is not such a relevant issue. Anyway, we will attempt to continue tomorrow. There's another aspect of this I would like to discuss based on the tshuva of the Igros Moshe.